This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:17. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila, and now we're talking about the results of the Sarawak state election.
Yes, something which I think a lot of people expected would get more attention than it ended up getting. But the elections were held last Saturday, the 18th of December, and Gabungan Parti Sarawak, or GPS, won by an overwhelming majority. They got 76 seats and therefore retained rule of Sarawak. Now, this is actually an improvement from their 2016 performance, where GPS won 72 seats. They were still part of BN at that time. So out of those 82 seats, Parti Sarawak Bersatu won 4 seats, which was Engkili, Simhanggang, Bakelalan and Bawang Asan.
Meanwhile, Pakatan Harapan did not have such a good showing. I mean, when you talk about such an overwhelming win, I think there's not much left to everyone else anyway. But PH won 2 seats, DAP won in Padungan and Pending. And basically, Tan Sri Datuk Patinggi Abang Johari Oping is maintaining his position as the Chief Minister of Sarawak. And that is more or less, I think, what the results have told us. However, one key point, and this is something that has been raised time and time again leading up to the election, was the likelihood of a poor turnout. And indeed, as of 4 o'clock on Saturday, the EC reported a turnout of 55%, which, if you compare to the last time this happened, 2016, the turnout there was 70% instead. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of people suspected that it might be the case, and indeed it was. So we want to break down, I think, what all of this means and how it might play out in the future. We'd like to hear from you in the meantime. What are your thoughts? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now, though, to give some context to the results is Ben Sufian, Program Director of Merdeka Centre. Ben, as always, pleasure to have you on with us.
Thanks for having me on.
So what were your main takeaways and impressions of the state election in Sarawak? Were you surprised by anything?
Well, not really surprised in terms of the results. We know that GPS was going to perform very well. There was a bit of a question mark in terms of how PSB was going to perform. We know that there is an undercurrent of support, particularly within the Iban communities towards PSB. And they did quite well, notwithstanding the fact that leading up to the election, they were not able to fully negotiate an electoral pact with the DAP or PKR. So we were expecting that perhaps PSB and the DAP would be able to get perhaps a couple of seats more. But I think the results generally fit within what we anticipate, GPS would perform. And GPS has been working hard, pouring a lot of resources into the infrastructure needs of Sarawakians over the last several years. And I think this is the impact of the spending and also the leadership of Abang Johari.
So before we get into the individual parties, many commentators and Sarawakians were actually already expecting a low voter turnout. And as we said, that was indeed what happened. What do you think this might indicate?
Well, I think a couple of things. And I think this is a bit worrying because, you know, we may have a general election rolling by within a year or so. And I think the principal reason for the low turnout in the case of Sarawak, I think twofold. Number one, we do notice that turnout in the cities, particularly within urban areas and some of the smaller towns, are much lower than anticipated. You know, I think, if I'm not wrong, in Padungan or Pending, it's only around 50% voter turnout. Voter turnout in the rural areas is only marginally higher, you know, in part because most of the voters live on site. They don't need to travel very far. So I think, first and foremost, there is still a concern about COVID infections and so on. Despite the fact that the vast majority of Sarawakians had already been vaccinated, there's still some concerns there. Number two, I think, is the SOPs related to the campaign itself. This has been a relatively quiet campaign. There's still voter canvassing going around, particularly in rural areas, but there are no big events, no ceramah, you know. And that, I think, has a lot to do in dampening the voter mood leading up to the polls. And I think the third point is the proximity of this election to Christmas. We know that a sizable number of Sarawakians celebrate Christmas. And so for many of them, especially those that are living in West Malaysia, they may not make the trip back in order to vote because the holidays are very close. So those are my take on the turnout.
Let's talk about DAP and PKR, who did very poorly. Why do you think that was the case?
A couple of things. I think in the case of DAP, there were a number of seats that they were, from what I understand, they were negotiating with PSB leading up to the election. But then some of these things fell through. The negotiations, fell through. They couldn't agree. And therefore, there were a number of multi-quantifies. And this resulted in GPS, particularly SUPP, winning a sizable number of seats. You know, it was very wafer-thin margins in many places across the state. I think somewhere up in Bintulu, you know, with less than 60 votes, you know. So you do have this situation where the opposition votes were split. I think one more point about the DAP, and I think this is something where the leaders of the DAP may need to ponder for the future, especially as they think about general elections, is that in the case of Sarawak, unlike that in Malacca, the ethnic Chinese vote for DAP essentially got split up to PSB and to some extent, Bahasa Kenyalam, you know, Bumi Kenyalam. So it got split up four ways, as well as to SUPP. And that resulted in the very poor showing in this election. In the case of PKR, I mean, this is something that we've seen the writing on the wall, where the party has, you know, splintered several times over. And what is left with PKR right now is the core PKR that was formed back in 1999, basically the Malay base of the PKR centered around Kuching. And that base is very small. It hasn't really grown. And the party has lost its some of its Chinese base, some of its indigenous, the Orang Ulu, Bidayuh, as well as the Iban base to PSB. And we can see, you know, how that has resulted in this particular election. So for all intents and purposes, PKR is rendered ineffective in Sarawak.
So where does this place Pakatan Harapan overall, especially after their recent poor showing in Malacca as well?
Well, I think a couple of points to consider. I think what happened in Sarawak, speaks to us as the local issues, local actors taking up the political discourse of the state. It also shows that national-based parties from Peninsula are not able to accommodate a lot of the state-based arguments, state-based issues, particularly relating to autonomy and the state-based rights as effectively as local parties can. And so it's more likely that we're going to see in the future more local parties vying for power within the state, leaving the national parties playing second fiddle. So parties like the DAP and also PKR, basically will not have that kind of muscle to address the issues. So that's number one. Number two, I think if you look at the implication of this election at the national canvas of politics, it also means that DAP and PKR, particularly opposition parties at the national level, will really need to consider how they approach coalition formation and alliances, because it's quite clear from the results in Malacca and the results now in Sarawak, they definitely cannot go by themselves, that they need to somehow find a bigger umbrella to accommodate all of the different political parties that are contesting against the establishment. And it also means that they have to go in with a lot less hubris about what they have achieved before. And so not talk about 2018 and their time in government, but talk about what they need to prepare for the next general election, and particularly appealing to younger Malaysians that are now entering the electoral roll.
So what do you think are going to be some of the key agendas for GPS moving forward, especially considering their overwhelming majority, which built on an existing overwhelming majority?
Yeah, I think for GPS, their position as a kingmaker in national politics is now secured, you know. So now they have the momentum to perhaps repeat this feat in a general election. So depending on when general elections are held, I think, you know, GPS is poised to do well in this election. And a lot depends on how the opposition sorts itself out. if the opposition remains as it is right now, if they are unable to find a room to cooperate and have an electoral pact, then I think GPS will do much better than they did in 2018. They will win back some of the seats they had lost before. And so that puts them in a very strong position nationally, and also means that their demand for greater autonomy, having more say about how federal funds are spent in Sarawak, I think they will probably have most of it their way, given how weak the central government in Putrajaya is right now.
Ben, we just have about a minute left. Now, an important theme that that's in Sarawak politics has always been about autonomy or even Sarawakian nationalism, and it's even seen a renewed call of late. How do you see these ideas developing in the future, and how will political parties continue these narratives?
Well, I think what we see happening in Sarawak is probably going to affect parties in Sabah, you know, in terms of also pushing their state-based agenda for autonomy and also resources, having more say on how resources are spent in their state. So that, I think, remains the most. But ultimately, in terms of where the electorate's loyalties and motivations lie, it's not just about the rhetorics of autonomy, but, you know, how is all does all that translate into a better life for them? So I think there's a lot of concerns about, let's say, infrastructure projects like Pan Borneo. Can it be delivered on time? Can the issues about infrastructure, access to jobs, and also business services, how can that be improved in the near term, perhaps over the next 2 to 3 years? Because ultimately, what's, I think, going to affect prospects in the future is how the GPS state government addresses the needs of young Sarawakians, because the increase in the number of electorate in the Sarawak is also very, very large. And so it could spell a very different dynamics in the next general election.
Ben, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
That was Ben Sufian, Program Director of Merdeka Center, taking us through the results of the Sarawak state election that happened over the weekend, of course. And that is it from us. You've been listening to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.